It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up.
BYU battles Notre Dame in a huge showdown in Las Vegas. Catch an extended edition of the Cougar pregame show this Saturday at 3:30 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's your Ute preview show here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Remember, Haggis Mattress is the place to go. Come by direct, get free same-day delivery with everything in stock in every size. You can save hundreds off your new mattress by shopping direct at Haggis' huge fall sale. Best price, or they'll beat any competitor's price, Haggis Mattress in West Jordan.
So we've spent a lot of time talking about the Utah defense against that UCLA offense. Talking about this UCLA defense going against this Utah defense or offensive front, they've got a couple of guys that cause problems. I'm going to tell you guys, it's the weirdest front. I guess it's not completely out of the ordinary, but most third downs, you don't have a single guy with their hand in the ground. Not one. And the four guys that they typically have rushing the passer are probably in the 6'4"-ish range, 6'3"-ish to 6'4"-ish, 5-ish range, 225 pounds. They stand in a two-point. They try to catch the edge, and they cause fits. And this guy, Leotau Latu, number 15, he's got 6 sacks on the season through 5 games. And it's not just about the sacks. It's about his constant pressure. And I don't understand how he gets it because he's not a bull rush threat. He's just a angled threat. And the sack that he had against Washington, it came over the center. He moved from the outside down over to the nose in a two-point and just rushed the center with an arm over. The whole thing is bizarre.
He's got 5 sacks?
Six.
Six?
6 sacks.
He's got 13 tackles on the season.
Yeah.
Half of his tackles are sacks.
Are sacks.
Wow.
And he just pressures quarterbacks.
How about this? And maybe this isn't surprising, but you have to go all the way down to their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Their ninth leading tackle is their first defensive lineman.
It's
all linebackers and defensive backs making tackles.
Is that Latu?
Well, Latu they list as a linebacker.
Well, he's always at the line.
He's at the line?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's one of those fronts. All right.
It's a typical Chip Kelly
okay,
thing,
gotcha.
Probably. But yeah, he's always at the line of scrimmage.
But doesn't have a hand in the dirt.
No, very rarely. It's bizarre. This front is bizarre. I just don't know. Okay, so look at the teams they've played. Have they faced an offensive front that can really get ugly and aggressive? Because Laumea and Daniels I'm forgetting the left guard's name, and I'm embarrassed because I should remember it. But this offensive front is going to get really ugly and aggressive. And I'm wondering if this UCLA defensive front has faced that against UCLA or Bowling Green or any of the
other teams. Based on the numbers, you wouldn't say that's the case. But
Are you more concerned about Utah's defense against UCLA's offense or Utah's offense against UCLA's defense? Where are you more concerned?
I would say Utah's defense against UCLA's offense.
I would say that too.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
then
I agree with that.
If you look at UCLA is second in the conference in total defense. UCLA second in the conference in total defense. And to go along with that.
Behind Utah, right?
Behind Utah. Mm-hmm. To go along with that, they're number one in the conference in rush defense.
Mm-hmm. Number six in the country.
They've only given up 100 yards once. More than 100 yards in the rushing game once. And that was South Alabama, who had a game-busting 164 yards on the ground. So, is that number one rush defense, number two defense in the conference, is that because UCLA is that is a defensive wall, or is it what you were saying earlier? They haven't really faced anyone that can push them around at the defensive front.
I think it has more to do with opponent than it does defense.
I'm curious to see about that. Because, like we were just talking about, Utah's going to have to figure out how to run the ball to have some success.
Oh, yeah.
And if Utah comes out of this game hitting UCLA's defensive average at 80.4 yards, that's not a win for Utah.
And, by the way, Utah's going to have to score in the 30s to win this game. I think.
UCLA has scored over 40 in all but one of their games, right?
Yeah.
The South Alabama game, they scored 32 or something?
Yeah, they're averaging 42 one. A game.
Yep.
41, 42 a game.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it's a game where Utah has to score 35 points.
Yeah.
And hold UCLA to 34 points.
That's what I'm thinking. I think best case scenario is being able to keep UCLA at 30.
Yeah.
Best case would be 28. I think in what I've watched and what I think of Utah's defense, which they're very good, but this is a really balanced team offensively.
What? Yeah.
But then again, you go back to, okay, have they seen a defense that gets ugly with them?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Is Washington that team?
I thought they were, but Washington's always been kind of up and down, I guess.
If I didn't have the Washington sample size, I'd be like, oh, this is just a facade.
Yeah. And the fact that they did it, as Frank said, in Washington, in a pretty raucous environment there.
Yeah, that game throws everything out of whack. Because we just didn't know. And maybe now we know.
And it was way that Dorian Thompson made it look so easy. When you watch the game,
he makes it
look easy. All of his routes and crisp breaks were just quick timing completions. And he's just untouched, and he's just dinking and dunking, and then they hand the ball off, and the offensive line catches the defense on angles, and they don't. It's not like they have a ton of shifting in the run game. It's not a ton of movement. It's not a ton of misdirection. It's a lot of slant, zone slant. They run that slant blocking scheme, Scotty, that's been so talked about.
Yes, very.
That's been so highly regarded. That slant scheme.
Slant blocking scheme.
Sorry.
Utah's giving up 14.5 points a game. UCLA's giving up 20.8 points per game.
Inside joke, sorry.
I don't know. I guess the schedule is... We'll have to see.
I think
the schedule was that
much. Honestly, I think this might be a game where Utah's defense breaks out a little bit.
In a good way?
In a good way, yeah. And maybe it's just I've got all these years of Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I don't think it continues to be at this level week in and week out. And I probably shouldn't think that way, but I'm like, eventually he's going to regress back to the mean.
I am of the same opinion. But maybe, maybe he's turned the corner this year.
You know who I want?
But I feel the same way.
You know who I expect to see have an insane game?
This one?
Against UCLA.
I expect to see.
Let me see if you can guess.
Noice.
Defensively?
Defensively. For Utah.
Oh, it's not in the
RJ?
Kicking game.
Hubert's got to be incredible, but he's not the one that I'm
thinking. You think a breakout game? Debo.
Diabate?
It's got to be a man-on-man pass rush, and it's got to be Gabe Reed.
Okay.
Gabe Reed's been a difference maker.
Who?
So the angle that I'm going at is nobody's pressured Dorian. Nobody's really hit Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Nobody's made it uncomfortable or horrible, and the one guy I think can do that is Gabe Reed.
Well, okay.
I mean, he's been playing against UCLA as long as Dorian Thompson has been playing for UCLA while he was at Stanford.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's seen him and he's seen the time. He's probably thinking the same thing we're thinking. Like, how is this guy even doing what he's doing?
Yeah. You know what? I was just thinking it would be so nice if the sports information department at Utah could update their two deep.
They never do.
6 weeks into the season.
Okay, but here's... I talked to a coach, not at the University of Utah, but I made it, like, it was about this time of year. This was several years ago, and I mentioned his 2D. He's like, I haven't even seen that since they asked me to fill out one at the beginning of the year. Like, they'll play, if somebody gets hurt, they'll plug in somebody new, but nobody updates their 2Ds anymore. I always think it's funny when people are like, oh, here's the new 2D. Coaches don't spend any time looking at that thing.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to, because they don't have to. There's no injury reports or anything that they have to list.
Well,
so
it doesn't help us do our job.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It does not. Well. But Gabe has got to be the guy. And really, to me, Gabe has shown a higher level of ability to get to the quarterback than Van Fillinger or O'Toole. Or
I was going to ask you about those two guys. I was thinking that maybe they were one of the two that you were thinking about as a breakout game, Fillinger or O'Toole. Well, O'Toole's been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
But it's so weird. He wears 81. You think he's a wide receiver. Don't you have that sense when he's out there lined up, defensive end, wearing 81?
Yeah, it feels different. It
feels like he's out of position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. It feels different. But he does some things really well. But so I haven't seen him be the pass rush artist that we've seen from DNs from Utah in the past.
No.
But Gabe Reed has been pretty consistent at giving you pressures, and I put a lot of weight in him this week. And Van, but mostly Gabe. And Junior Tafuna could be that guy too, but
I think those two of those guys need to be super disruptive at the line of scrimmage to make it happen for Utah defensively. And then they have to be really tight in the defensive backfield. How do you utilize...
R.J. Hubert was so good last week.
Really
though.
Good.
I mean, you got
he
Cole Bishop,
so good.
Obviously Clark Phillips, but R.J. Hubert's really quietly turning into a of a player.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He had an incredible game. If it's not for three picks, he's your player of the game, but it's like you can't ignore a press coverage and three picks and a return for a touchdown and everything that Clark did. But coming out of that thing, I was as impressed with RJ.
How do you utilize Bishop in this game?
Well, that's the thing. Can you put him at the line of scrimmage and run him on some bullet blitzes? And
well, that's, I think you're going to have to get him involved in that pressure game. Yeah.
The one sack Washington had, I think they had a sack. I want to make sure. Because I think it was because I watched so much film. Will you check and see if Washington had a sack? And it
should
Washington be their linebacker
had
number 25.
One sack for 7 yards.
Okay, that's him. So that came off of a linebacker blitz off the outside. It was number 25, I think, for Washington. And they just brought the extra man and got home. I think that was the one sack that Washington was able to
It
was not a one-on-one with that offensive line. The UCLA offensive line has been just impressive, or really was against Washington.
Yeah, it has all of a sudden become a very intriguing matchup. I don't think people were really taking UCLA seriously until this past weekend.
I don't know if
and now they're kind of the darlings.
I don't know
South.
If people are taking them seriously yet either. I think they're waiting for this Utah game to.
This is more. Yeah, this should tell more.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah,
I mean, number 15 Washington was really good. unbeaten at that point.
By the way, I said the game is at Washington. I meant UCLA. That's my bad.
That's because I said it earlier.
Yeah, but it was a raucous environment, that's for sure.
Insane environment.
That place was hopping.
Which, I don't know. Do you get the repeat on that? How crazy is the Rose Bowl going to be this week?
We talked to their color analyst, and he said...
Which one?
The guy that played quarterback.
Cook?
Stevens.
Matt Stevens. Because they have Cook, who's on the sideline, Matt Stevens in the booth. I think they both were quarterbacks, weren't they?
But Matt was like, oh, you know, this... It was really hot here in Southern California at the beginning of the year, but now people are showing up. I'm like, I don't think they'll ever really.
They are. We talked about this. This is how the crowd for UCLA shows up. They get to the game about 2 hours early, plenty of time, and they get their tailgating all set up around the Rose Bowl,
okay,
all around the golf course, and it's an enormous...
Pasadena Country Club, right?
Yeah, it's an enormous facility. The parking lot... At the Rose Bowl is, I mean, it's enormous.
Yeah.
So they get there and they get all set up for the tailgating, and then they start tailgating, and the teams arrive and get warmed up, and then they're still tailgating, and then you get approach kickoff, and then they're still tailgating, and then you get into the first quarter.
And then they're passed out.
And then they're saying... Why would we go in there when we can just tailgate and watch the game here on our TVs
while we're
tailgating?
They're just not walking into the stadium.
No. No.
Okay.
It's an interesting phenomenon. It's a tailgating mecca.
Really?
That never makes it to the...
The only time I've been to a UCLA game, I was hanging out with you when the Brett Ratliff, Tommy Grady pick six...
Like, hey, we are putting him in at this point in the game. That's our plan. Utah's doing pretty well at that point. Oh man, Vernon, what was his name? Vernon?
I don't remember.
Maxwell,
who picked the ball?
Vernon Davis.
I don't know what
talking about Vern off of.
Hey, Vern.
No. Know what you mean, Vern?
Zero. Zero. Picked the ball.
I remember the play.
About Ernest goes to camp.
I just can remember watching him running down the field like, what just happened?
And the game just flipped at that point.
Right there.
It was done.
Yep. And then the tailgating crowd felt more comfortable, so they stayed at their tailgate.
Yeah.
Things were getting tense for a minute. They were thinking of walking inside.
Yeah.
And
well,
then,
apparently that's what Lane Kiffin's complaining about at Ole Miss, because everybody shows up to the Grove at Ole Miss, but they don't actually come in the game. Because they want to tailgate and get drunk outside, and then they never actually walk into the stadium.
Ole Miss is undefeated, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And you know who their quarterback is? Former Corner Canyon
Jackson
star.
Dart.
Jackson Dart.
Are you talking about where the red Vern grows?
I do not endorse any of that.
Yeah, here comes the Scotchman.
That some people do call him the Scotchman.
Nobody calls him the Scotchman. Nobody.
It's a taste of treat. Whether you call it that or not. What do you call it? A scoot?
Scotcheroo.
A scoot?
No, it's not a scoot, and he's fine.
His knee is okay. All right.
He's going to be fine.
Coming up next, it's our Pac-12 Shakedown, where Frank will take you around the Pac-12, all the big games, all the big teams to keep an eye on this weekend, and recapping last week as well. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes hit the road to Pasadena for a showdown against Chip Kelly and UCLA in the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long for the best coverage of Ute football. Then catch the Ute pregame show presented by Zions Bank this Saturday, with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up.
The Utes square off against UCLA in a massive Pac-12 showdown this Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right, it's better than yours.
All right, it is time for your Pac-12 Shakedown.
I can't believe that Coach Satake would say that about Notre Dame. Like, he doesn't think they have the athletes?
Pretty strong in his comments there.
Strong words.
Wait, I'm confused.
Why?
You talking about Vern?
All right.
Did you find the name?
Vern Alteron. Yeah, I found the name.
You know what is interesting about him?
He ran the pick back?
Absolutely
pick six.
Nothing.
Oh,
you know what's
man,
interesting about him? Nothing.
That's messed
got
up.
Got him. Man, it feels good to return that after like 8 years. Or
when Brandon Doman.
Wouldn't Brandon hit me with that?
On Pork Chop Womack.
And Brandon goes, hey, he got you there. Man, I wanted to hit him right in his face. Never wanted to punch somebody more in my life.
Like taken to Fist City?
Yeah. How could you say that about Brandon?
Brandon's like the nicest guy on the planet.
Pick him up by his hair.
Oh, boy. All right. We talked about the UCLA-Washington game. USC, a little bit of a dogfight. They're up 21-17 against Arizona State, but then end up pulling away late. But that was a game for a bit as USC wins that game 42-25. I don't think it was ever any thought of, oh, wow, USC may lose this game. But it was like, hey, come on, you need to be pulling away here. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about USC. Do they seem a little out of sorts?
Yes.
Or, yeah, it feels like that to me, too. Like a little out of sorts. I think, you know, defensively they're improving, but it's a team you can score on. And the way that Oregon State played USC a couple weeks ago gave a pretty nice blueprint for the rest of the league. So I think that's a very, very good but beatable football team in USC. I don't think it happens this week.
No.
Against Washington State. What do you think about Cam Ward?
I don't know.
Ward?
Washington State beat up on Cal. Washington State's now 4-1 on the year.
I know. What do you think about Cam Ward?
Haven't watched him enough, but he's putting up crazy numbers. I mean, 27 of 40, 343, three touchdowns.
Ooh.
Some pretty crazy numbers there.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, how much do you believe in USC right now? They beat Oregon State 17-14, just skated by, and we saw what Utah just did to Oregon State.
Well,
if you want to go,
well, that's what I think about USC. USC's beatable. That's what I think about USC.
But let's be honest here. There's two teams. If you're a Utah fan, there's two teams you need to be cheering for. Number one, Utah. You got to win. And then number two, you should be cheering like crazy for USC. Because if USC is indeed beatable, you want to be the team to give them that L next week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Because if Utah comes in there with just one loss and looks like they're rolling and a big win against UCLA, and USC comes into that game undefeated, which means everybody's going to be talking about how great they are.
Yeah.
And if you can put it on USC a week from now.
It erases that Florida loss.
It erases that Florida loss.
It does?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it would.
I agree.
What?
A lot of it depends on what USC does the remainder of the season.
Yeah, but if you look at what USC's got after Utah, you go Arizona, Cal, Colorado. Arizona, Cal, Colorado after Utah.
So you think those are three wins?
Yeah, so USC will roll on those.
When does UCLA roll into town?
And then they've got UCLA and Notre Dame. Those are your final two.
Yeah.
By that time, Notre Dame should be roughed up, even though they feel like they've got better talent than everybody.
So is everyone picking USC in this one? I think the jury's still out on Cam Ward. I've watched him play a few times. And we'll see. I think USC takes that game.
Well, if you're a Utah fan, you should want that to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I do.
As you should. And Arizona is now 3-2 on the season, but they get the obligatory win over Colorado, who now has fired Carl Durrell.
Oh, man. Carl Durrell was too nice of a guy to be a football coach.
You hate to see that because
a nice guy.
He's a super nice guy, and you hate to see guys like Chip Kelly and just complete a-holes going out there and winning a lot of football games because they're very unlikable.
Yeah, for sure. there seems to be some that kind of trait sometimes, like highly successful. Like, you want to spend an evening with Nick Saban?
No.
How does that
No,
sound?
Honestly, if you had a chance to win a dinner with Nick Saban, I can't think of anybody less appealing to break bread with than Nick Saban. He'd be looking at you like, you know, you really should be cutting back on the carbs. What are you doing getting the manicotti? I'm like, it looked good. That's a bad life choice, young man. And just judging you the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Judging. How about Lane Kiffin?
I'd go sit down with Lane.
How about
Lane now, but Lane not
is,
Lane of old.
Yeah, Lane is awesome on Twitter, but yet you still hear him talk to the media, and he's boring and just dry as ever. But I got to think, behind closed doors, Lane's got to be a fun dude to hang out with.
Mike Leach.
Yes. 100% yes on that.
Yes. Yes. Dan Lanning.
No.
Hey, so let's just talk about, so we're talking about USC. We're talking about Utah being able to erase the Florida loss. Is there any way Oregon can erase the Georgia embarrassment that started the season?
Yeah, because Georgia has been just whomping people but they haven't been. No, they're not going to erase that loss. I think Georgia's going to get beaten.
Yeah.
Yeah, their quarterback is a liability.
Because where Utah was a field goal away from pushing overtime in Florida, Oregon lost to Georgia 49-3.
Yeah, Oregon was approximately 10 field goals away.
But from pushing. I did watch Oregon up close and personal.
Like,
and
20 field goals.
They beat up BYU pretty handedly. And they've put up 40 points. They put up 40 points against Washington State, 44, 45 against Stanford.
Yeah, but Oregon's going to take another loss because Bo Nix.
That is Bo Nix.
Yep, you got it. They're not going to take the loss. Well, I mean they could, but it's not going to happen this weekend.
I mean, Bo Nix looked great against BYU, and he's had some great programs, but I look at him the same as Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
For sure.
Like, every good game, it's like, well, there's going to be two bad games after that.
I've watched him several times, and I always think, like, oh, here's a mistake, yep. And he just seems to be avoiding it at the moment. We'll see how that continues going on. Let me ask you this as we continue through the Pac-12 shakedown. What is going on with Stanford? Because they're going to take another loss this weekend.
How long do they stick with Brian Shaw?
David Shaw.
Or David Shaw,
And by the way.
Not the old Lakers guard. Sorry.
David Shaw. So, I mean, this we could have a much deeper conversation about David Shaw. I think he's a good coach. I also think, and again, a very respectable person.
Yeah, very good person.
Very respectable person. I think in any other football competitive conference.
He's done.
Yeah, he would have been done.
Yeah, he's done.
He would have been
done. You watch some of the stuff on draft on NFL Network. That dude just needs to go into TV. He's phenomenal.
He's very good.
Analyst.
Yeah.
Draft guy. Does a tremendous job. He needs to just be like, you know what? Get out of coaching. Go make a couple million a year.
Yep.
At ESPN or NFL.
So you're saying he should feign a personal health issue.
Yeah.
Get out of coaching. Doesn't have to take the firing.
The old proverbial, I need to spend more time with my family.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there, but I think he's had some influences, some offensive influences, some personnel influences, maybe even really some schematic influences that took him away from why Stanford and how Stanford was so good. Why wouldn't you look at that and be like, okay, so what were we doing, and what are we doing now?
Oh, you mean we're going to be good at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
We're going to run the ball down your throat. We're going to have a good tight end. We maybe have one good wide receiver.
We'll steal a bunch of tight ends from Utah.
We're going to make UCLA look like they are packed in.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. It's really bizarre.
I don't know why. I always really liked their philosophy.
Yeah.
Like, here's what we can recruit. Here's where we're going to do. This is what we're going to be good at. Boom. Let's do this.
So was that more Harbaugh and Shaw was just the beneficiary for a period of time? Or can you put a lot of that success on Shaw? Was there enough of it for long enough to say, no, he's very good?
He's still calling the play. So, I mean, there's definitely something there. But I think that, you know, maybe there was this sense of we need to recreate ourselves, and clearly that just hasn't worked.
And I don't know, for whatever reason, COVID really wrecked them because they've never been the same.
Well, and they were, I'm not making a political statement.
No, I know what you're saying, though.
But they were very aligned with being having zero productivity during COVID. Yeah.
But I guess in 2019 they were 4-8.
So what you're saying
started
is
before,
while Herm Edwards was out there whining and dining, the top end recruits, Shaw was like, not leaving the house.
Yeah.
Well, and once you get behind your schedule in weight training, and you're behind in that regard, it's hard to catch up.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I understand that one of the Stanford professors has now blamed this streak of losses on global warming. So you have that, too.
Oh, so you just can't help yourself.
Sorry.
You just can't do it.
I'm so sorry. I couldn't.
By the way, another tweet coming in. I'd break bread with Ed Orgeron. If you had a translator there.
Ed Orgeron, before he went freaky Orgeron. When Ed Orgeron gave the cookies back to the USC football team, that Ed Orgeron, not the Ed Orgeron who became like a playboy sending out selfies on social media. By the way, if I could just caution anyone, don't send selfies out on social media. It's just going to go the wrong way. it just doesn't work out.
You saying if you're trying to impress a girl, don't send a picture?
Yeah, don't do that. Like, we have to know better. Okay.
All right, Brett. Let's not do that.
Oh.
And right back to the shakedown.
Yes.
Besides Washington bounces back against Arizona State.
Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, Washington's a team that needs to be good. I'm glad that Oregon State is playing well. I'm glad that Washington State is super competitive. I'd like the Arizona schools to get back on track. Maybe Arizona is getting there. Arizona State's probably a couple years away. But for this conference to be recognized, I mean, it has to be USC, Washington, Oregon, UCLA. Those are the teams that have to be good. They have the most national recognition.
Hey, what team would Bronco Mendenhall do better with, Arizona State or Colorado?
Colorado. Yeah.
How about okay.
I would love to see
Even
Bronco
with the talent that Arizona State
I, okay, I would, no, no, I don't no, I don't I think I think it's Mendenhall, too Colorado. He needs to go to a more blue collar place. You know where I think he needs to go is Nebraska.
Yeah. I'd love to see Bronco Mendenhall at Colorado. I think it's a really good matchup. Really good. Where will Urban Meyer land? He says half jokingly.
Some hotel bar.
Oh man, please stay in the broadcast booth. Please stay in the broadcast booth. Right? Isn't that right?
Yeah. That's probably for the best.
Yeah. Okay. Have we gone through all of the Oregon beats Arizona? Oregon State beats Stanford. USC beats Washington State.
Tell you what, though.
Washington beats Arizona State.
That USC 12.5-point line, though, that's kind of tempting.
Okay, who's your upset pick of those? Who's your upset pick? Washington State, USC?
I don't think it's going to happen, but of all those, I would go with Washington State.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, how about Mike Sanford taking over as the interim, the son of Urban Meyer's Mike Sanford?
Mike was the OC with Gary at Utah State for a year. He went, in 2019. I got to know Mike pretty well.
He's a very good guy.
Yeah.
OC at Utah for Urban Meyer's couple years. And then
his dad was.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And then, you're talking about the son was at
Utah State.
Yeah.
His son is the one that's now at Colorado.
Correct. Yeah. His dad was at Utah, then went to UNLV. And then he actually helped coach at Park City High School for a couple years. That was kind of fun to see him again.
What job would you take, Arizona State or Colorado? What job would you take, Scotty?
I think you've got a little bit more leeway at Colorado.
Leeway? What do you mean?
I think they'll give you a little bit more time.
How damaged is Arizona State with the some of the infractions?
That's the other thing you got to think of.
Did they come down hard on them?
I don't think they have yet.
Probably going to, though, right?
NCAA timeline, usually probably another 5 years before they announce anything.
So there was a very interesting interview with Chad Brown, former Colorado great. Did you hear that interview?
I did not hear the interview.
So
I think he's on a radio station in Denver.
Here is the thing that So when I think of Colorado, I think, hey, that's a community that if you could build something, they would get behind that football program. But Chad Brown said the difficulty that Colorado is going to have rebuilding a nationally elite football program is on-campus conflict with the academic side of the university. So academics are not aligned with athletics.
Well, yeah, then you stay away from that job.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You've got
you can't win.
Yeah, if you go to, if you go and your president isn't on board with athletics, get the heck away.
Get out of there.
Yeah, yeah. Don't touch it.
Utah's in a fantastic situation right now.
Your president,
Taylor Randall.
Yes. Your president needs to be a sports fan and realize, like Urban said, and I'm sure Urban stole it from somebody, your football team's the front porch of your university.
That's quoted. You have to. I think you have to pay him.
Well, Urban probably does.
That. Yeah.
I'll pay him back in hurricane shots. I think that's a currency that he's currently accepting.
You can drop the mic on that one.
Hands and Scotty coming up next. We'll wrap this thing up. Get you ready for Unrivaled. Straight ahead, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Here's the thing. You're going to go to the Big 12, and you're either going to grow up and put your big boy pants on, or you're going to get your butt kicked. I mean, and you're going to keep getting your butt kicked until you decide to put your big boy pants on. I mean, it's, you know, that's just kind of how it is. That's where your program grows. That's where you get better. The tougher the competition, the higher the expectation, it raises the level of play. And that's just something that will evolve over time.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. The 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up.
BYU battles Notre Dame in a huge showdown in Las Vegas. Catch an extended edition of the Cougar pregame show this Saturday at 3:30 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Remember to join Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell on Monday at G2G Protein Bars from 3 to 6. While there, you take an unrivaled tour of the General RV Motorhome and enter to win tickets to an upcoming BYU game. Well, it's all about Utah on this show. Frank Dolce, confidence level of Utah leaving Pasadena with a win on Saturday, percentage-wise.
Fair. Is that a
fair to Midland?
Is that a 12:30 kick there? It is, right?
Fair to Midland.
I believe so, yeah.
12:30 p.m. Pacific time. 1:30 here.
So what are we talking about now? This time of year, that time of kick?
Wait, is it Southern California? Oh, sunny, 72.
You like the weatherman on Anchorman.
That's why people keep putting up with it.
Do you remember the L.A. Story? Steve Martin did the movie L.A. Story. He was a weatherman.
I never saw that.
He would pre-record the weather for the week because it was always the same in Southern California.
That would be a nice job. Be a weatherman in San Diego. It's 80 degrees, sunny.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
So, yeah, Southern California is supposed to be 76 degrees is your high. Pasadena has a tendency to get a little warmer, so it may be a little higher than that, but
that's
should be
beautiful
sunny, 76. No, it's not. What's your favorite football weather to play in?
54 to 58?
Yeah, like a little crisp. It has to be fall.
Cloud cover.
A little crisp.
No wind.
In the air. Yeah. Maybe someone with a nice pumpkin spice latte.
I'll always take it colder than I'll take it hotter.
I could see you totally being all about the pumpkin spice.
No, I'm not. I just said that for effect. It didn't come out very well either. Sorry.
It should be a perfect environment. It really should be a great game. I after going through everything I've gone through, I'm extremely impressed by Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Extremely impressed with what he's done. And I have to believe that...
So we got our hands cut out for us.
Yeah, you do. I have to believe that he's turned a bit of a corner. And he is now what we've seen for these five games. And
okay.
And according to the guy that Stevens... Matt Stevens.
Yeah.
He said that he's put together eight games now that have been like this.
They're undefeated for three games last year and this five games this year. At the end of and he did show some signs last year. Here's a guy that has top running game in the conference and zero pressure and one of the best receivers, lots of athletes. So he has lots of things going for him right now. The big question to me is Utah going to be able to score enough points in this game, which I think has to be 35 plus? Two, is Utah going to be able to make Dorian Thompson-Robinson uncomfortable in the game because he hasn't found himself in that situation this year? Is Utah able to do that? If they can, then I think they have a chance.
Over his last seven games, last two games of last year, first five games of this year, he has thrown 18 touchdowns and only two interceptions. Mm.
That's pretty good.
I was just looking at his USC game at the back end of last year, mm-hmm. part of the three-game winning streak of 21 to end it.
Yeah.
350 yards through the air against USC.
Yes, by the way.
Put up 62 points on him.
P.S.
Yeah.
A horrible USC
team.
Yeah,
that team had checked out.
A horrible USC.
All three of those teams, Colorado, USC, and Cal,
yeah.
were not.
Yeah, I mean, they're still good wins. But this is a very interesting matchup. Clean game on both sides. I think Utah... Oh man!
I think this is the best quarterback that Utah's seen, but I think this will be the best defense that UCLA's seen. I think Utah's defense holds them to 28 points.
I think Utah's going to have to force a couple mistakes out of
which
that
will
UCLA
happen.
Offense.
He's going to serve up some mistakes. He's not going to be perfect. I say he throws two interceptions in this game, and Utah wins it by 10 plus.
Whoa! What?
Wow! I like it. No, I like it.
He's due.
Well, and this is a team that knows how to pick them off. You were listening to Sharif Shah blessing Clark Phillips' heart. But you know what?
You make fun, but if you've never had your soul blessed by Sharif Shah, then you are not living.
No, that's very true.
And I am the fortunate recipient.
He's blessed your soul.
Bless absolutely. Your soul. That's my guy. That's my number one guy.
Ride or die.
Sharif Shah.
There you go.
Put me down. I've got Utah winning this 32-28.
I don't want to bring this down any, but quickly.
You're taking UCLA?
No.
Okay.
No. Who wins the battle of the Fighting Irish and the Cougs?
Well, according to Audric Estime, are you trying to get us back into a Cougar preview?
Or you just don't want to make a prediction on this game.
No, I have a prediction, and okay. It's a good one.
All right, let's hear it.
It's a good one. Go ahead. Before I make my prediction, go ahead.
I made my prediction yesterday, and I went with BYU 28, Notre Dame 17. 11-point win.
Ask Alima about this tomorrow when you're on your Friday show, but he called the Notre Dame football players a bunch of big nothings or something like that.
Oh.
Big nothings. Like, they get off the... They get off the bus and they look big and athletic, but they don't really bring it.
Oh.
They don't really bring it.
Wow.
So
that's a bold proclamation.
Alema picked a 49-0 shutout in that game.
No, he did not.
Just to let you know.
No. So. You know, the funny thing is that could be just true enough.
Are you being serious?
Like, I don't believe
the big
it.
Big nothings. They get off the bus. They don't bring anything. No weight in their shorts. Something. He said something like that. So
if he didn't say we're talking to Alema tomorrow, so
I know I'm telling you, I'm preparing you to talk to Alema tomorrow, and I'm going to pick Utah in this one 35-31, Utah.
All right,
Utah's got to put up 35, man. That's
Let's go. All right.
Let's go.
That wraps it up for us. Live here at Tim Daly Infinity, 4550 South State Street. Great staff, great vehicles, all priced to move. Make sure to come by and check it out. All with that forever warranty. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Unrivaled next.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.